Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to get back into your word once again, to study it, to dig deep into the scriptures. Help us to do that, to dig deep down in there and find that faith-building knowledge. Find the information that we need to be able to grow close to you through that. And help us to apply it to our lives and help us to share it with others as well. Lead, guide, and direct all of this. We thank you so much. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word benediction. And as the Bible dictionary defines benediction as a prayer that God may bestow certain blessings on his people or on an individual. But if you will, turn to Psalm 67. We'll read the entire psalm. It's only seven verses here. And the whole psalm is one that's on the list of benedictions. But I'm sure if you went through the entire list, the entire group of psalms, that you would find several more that could be considered a prayer of blessings. But this one we'll look at in Psalm 67, verse 1. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah. If you're curious, this word Selah here, or Selah, is a musical connotation of some sort. I don't know that much about music, but those of you that do know that that has something to do with that this is actually a song. Continue to verse 2. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless thee. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Wouldn't it be awesome to know Hebrew and the music that this was originally set to and be able to actually go through the book of Psalms and to sing them in the original Hebrew language with the music along with it? But we have the English translation of it. It gives us the context of it so we can learn from it. All right, now all the way over into the Gospel of John. I'm sure there's got to be a whole lot more. I didn't go through chapter and verse through all between Psalms and the Gospel of John to research more in benediction because of time. We don't want to spend way too much time on each of the words that we choose, but going along with the guidelines that we have in our book, we see now it jumps all the way over to John. John chapter 17. And John chapter 17 is an awesome chapter. It's actually a prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Heavenly Father for the disciples and for all the believers, but primarily targeted at the disciples at this time. In John chapter 17, let's read the entire chapter, actually, because the whole thing is a benediction, a prayer for the disciples shortly before the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. John chapter 17, verse 1 reads, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." An awesome part of this verse here. The glory that was with me before the earth was, before the world was, before we have Genesis 1:1 in the beginning. Jesus Christ existed forever, eternally past, eternally future. Not born on Christmas in Bethlehem. Born into the flesh, came to be human amongst us in Bethlehem. But he is eternal, as he emphasizes here. And verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Of course, that was Judas Iscariot. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Like when we were speaking about joy and happiness and so forth, it's the Lord's joy. That's what we need to always realize and tap into. It's not that it's our own joy that we want to have so much of. It's when we can tap into the joy that the Lord can provide us, it's way greater than what we could have within ourselves. Verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Verse 20 here is where it ties it in to everyone that is a believer. Not just to the disciples. So this prayer that's going primarily to the disciples here in verse 20 gets expanded to all those that have believed as a result of the work that has been done, the spreading of the gospel and the reaching out to souls through all the ages since the Lord has presented this. Neither pray I for these only, but for them also which shall believe on me through their work, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Notice how he keeps saying over and over that they be one, as we've been seeing through the scriptures, how we're all supposed to come together with one mindset, with one accord, with one belief in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, trusting in him, the one and only true and living God. Verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Another indication there, another reference to before the foundation, or before creation. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. An awesome prayer. To know that the Lord has said such a prayer for us on our behalf that have trusted in Him as Lord and Savior, for us to have the opportunity to come together with a full love, His joy, and as it says there in verse 24, that they be with me where I am. That means we're going to be able to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who spoke everything into existence will be able to spend eternity with Him. And where He chooses to be is going to have to be a great place, that's for sure. So it's awesome to look forward to that very thing. Now, if you will, flip on over to Acts chapter 20. And we see here, this is actually a prayer, a benediction prayer of Paul to the Ephesians. In Acts chapter 20, let's pick it up in verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying and weight of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn every one night and day with tears. This is an interesting warning that he has just given them here of the caution of what's going to happen in the future to the church. This was directly to the church at Ephesus, but it has happened across the board to all churches where you have the outsiders coming in, the false teachers, the false teachings from the outside as well as from the inside that have broken up and fragmented and caused division and strife. Verse 32, And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. This is an interesting note that he's put here in 34. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands, talking about his own hands, have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. If you recall, Paul was a tent maker. He was a Pharisee, yes, but he was also a tent maker. So in some of his journeys and his missions, he hooked up with Aquila and Priscilla, and they three had a tent building or tent making, fabricating business that they had together, and that helped fund his ministry. Verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Paul's last personal face-to-face prayer and benediction to the church at Ephesus. All right, now over to Romans chapter 15. A brief benediction here we see in chapter 15 and verse 33. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Simple little statement that you will find similar at the end of 1 Corinthians 16, verse 23 and 24, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, Galatians chapter 6, verse 18, Ephesians 6, verse 23 and 24, Philippians 4, 23, Colossians 4, 18, 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, 2 Thessalonians 3, 18, 1 Timothy 6, 21, 2 Timothy 4, 21, Titus 3, 15, Hebrews 13, 25, James 5, 20, 1 Peter 5, 14, 2 Peter 3, 18, 1 John 5, 21, 2 John 13, and then 3 John 14, Jude 25, Revelation 22, verse 21. You got all those? If you notice, that's the way Paul likes to close things up. He puts a little benediction right at the end of each one of the books. And they're very simple, and it's mostly and usually about peace or grace that comes to you, and amen. But let's look at one more over in 2 Corinthians, because it's in the book here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, he's a little bit longer with this one. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. So he likes to close each one, and this verse that's at the end of it is considered a benediction prayer. All right, now let's look at Revelation. In Revelation chapter 1, this is where the beginning of the book of Revelation here, when John is receiving this awesome revelation from Jesus Christ. And in chapter 1, in verse 3 through 7, it speaks of a blessing here, which normally you would consider the benediction being at the end, but this is actually what you might say a prelude blessing, or at the beginning instead of at the ending. And here we see in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 through 7, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. See, he's saying this right before he's even gone through the entire book, but yet he's pointing out right from the beginning, if you study this book that you're about to get into and study, then blessings to you. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh. No, that's far enough right there. Well, no, he actually throws in another one here in verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. All right, now if you go all the way to Revelation chapter 22. In Revelation chapter 22, we have the closing of the book of Revelation. Get up in verse 16 here. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the four things which are and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And that's the final benediction that we have in the Word of God. All the way there to the end of Revelation. Let's look at a couple things right here while we end this. We've got a couple more minutes. The statement where he's telling us that I'm not supposed to mess with his word. You have these other translations out here that have distorted the word of God, that have added a lot into them. And most of all, you see how they've deleted a lot. They delete things they don't like or they don't want to think about or don't want to apply to their lives. And it would fall right into this word, this warning right here. Where it says, For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. So they will not be unaccountable. They will be held accountable for what they have done when it comes to messing with the Word of God. Whether it be because they've plugged in their own words or whether they've taken stuff out. Some say, well, this is just speaking of the book of Revelation. Others say that it applies to the entire Word of God. Either way, they have went after both areas, the entire Word of God, plus the book of Revelation. So they have a caution there. They have a warning. But one thing I would like to say right here is a benediction prayer that is often used, or a section of scriptures that are often used to close a funeral service, which is used as part of the benediction, is a prophecy here of what we have to look forward to for eternity. And that is back over in Revelation chapter 21. One of my favorite sections in the Bible, because it gives us a glimpse of what we have to look forward to as Christians in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. And it reads, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And those are wonderful words to complete this study on the word of benediction, and wonderful words we should all memorize and stand on, our hope and our trust and our faith in knowing what we have to look forward to for eternity as Christians, and should encourage us to share that with others as well. We are out of time, so let's go ahead and pray, and next week we'll be into another word. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. It is so powerful all the way through from the beginning to the end, no matter what it is. No matter what's going on in our lives, we can look into your word and find the guidance that we need. Help us to always have a desire to do that very thing. No matter what's going on, when we have a question, is to take it to you. Pray about it and look into your word and get the revelation that we need. Thank you so much for that. Help us share that with others as well. Help us this week to have the boldness to step up and proclaim you as our Lord and Savior every opportunity that comes our way to bring honor and glory to you. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen.